Welcome to G Talk. G-Talk is a podcast dedicated to helping you discover your purpose by helping you build intimate relationships and a lifestyle of thankfulness. Listen to us today as we discuss a new challenging topic aimed to encourage you and to challenge you, but most importantly, to build you up in your relationships with each other and with God. Stay tuned. Welcome to G Talk, and we are your host, Terrence and Adara Clark, and it is great to be back with you. We've taken a few weeks off, honey, haven't we? We've taken some vacation time.
Yes, it was very well needed, and we are back, and I'm excited about venturing into the now summer season.
Yes, and it has been super warm. And so, yes, we love the warm, but it's been really warm. And so the whole world, I think, is hot right now. For all those people who are into the global warming, you are being right now, I guess, substantiated or whatever, I guess, right now, right, with the heat. But we spent some time with family.
Right.
And it really fits well because we are on the family series. And we really wanted to come and talk about that. I mean, we've really dug into some family things, and we thought it would be good to continue our discussion on family. And, you know, what better opportunity than we were celebrating my parents' 60th anniversary in Jacksonville, Florida.
Very nice.
Very, very nice. Yeah, mm-hmm. It really was. It was good to see some family we haven't seen in a long time. Mm-hmm. And it was like the first time we've all been back together again in a very, very long time. I don't think we ever figured out the year, but it has been a long, long time, probably 15, 20 years.
Right.
And that's pretty scary when you think about how, you know, because we're so close. Mm-hmm. And then you turn around and it's like we haven't been together, all of us. And we really weren't because, you know, we had, our son wasn't there in his family. Mm-hmm. So that really changed the dynamic. But it was still good. Everybody else was there. Mm-hmm. So one of the things we were talking about, and you had these two words, and I think that is really good. One of the things that this series is about, I think, is we recognize the importance of family. I think we talked about this. We do so many different things. Sometimes I forget what we've talked about here on G Talk and what we may have talked about and other things. Hmm. But family is very high on God's priority. And I don't know how much we've talked about that, but I think we did another series that family is very high on God's priority. And that there is a place for families in heaven, and that it's really not just a passing thing for the Lord. It really, you know, the reason why there's so much in the Bible with, you know, going through family dynamic and using even the long list of family members, sometimes people get bored, but it's there for a reason that God wants us to realize and understand that each individual is important to Him. Every name has a place mm-hmm. in His kingdom, and every family has a place. And you see this throughout scripture where He'll bring the importance of family in. But what happens here is this. We were talking about the dynamic of family, and we were talking about the fact that oftentimes in families, what happens is that, you know, as you grow older and you get into your, you know, your own families and things start to happen, there is this separation, pull away, and families kind of begin, you know, doing their own thing. And
their own family.
I'm sorry?
They now have their own family.
They do have their mm-hmm. own family, but it's more than that. Mm-hmm. There's almost sometimes this thing that we hear about it all the time because we're talking to people. I mean, you had a conversation this week with someone at work, and, you know, it's common to hear these kinds of things where the family can't get back together or there are so many family issues mm-hmm. that go on. And we wanted to talk about that a little bit because it's a reality. Mm-hmm. There are so many family divisions and family arguments and family breakups where siblings are no longer talking, parents and children are no longer talking, And there's some real things there that the Lord really wants to see healed in our families.
And it started from the beginning.
It did start. You're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. It did start. It's always been there. But, you know, let's talk about why that is and what, even what we kind of experienced this weekend. And maybe that's a great, or this weekend, but when we got together with family over the last few weekends here, maybe that's a place to start because, and you know, there is a dynamic that's there. And I was thinking about that in my own family. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about, you know, kind of the push away and the push back. And I've seen this with in times. I kind of feel like this. I think you would let's use your two words. You said you can be a disruptor or a builder. Builder or disruptors, you know, and you said that oftentimes you explain what you meant.
Well, I remember listening to it was Andy Stanley was preaching a sermon, and it really, there was some nugget words that he had mentioned, and then I was reading a book. And they were mentioning, it's kind of like they were all in the same wave of our words. When we, you know, our role in people's lives, we can either, we're like the construction supervisor, you know, we're supervising and there's something that's being built. Mm-hmm. And we have the opportunity in that building to help build it.
Okay.
Or we have also that opportunity to disrupt it or destroy it.
Yes.
And it's through our words.
Mm-hmm.
It's the part when James was talking about being slow to speak.
Hmm, yeah.
And being slow to speak allows us to hear what's actually going on and allow us to be able to hear what the person is saying and be able to know if there, what type of response. Will my response be something that builds or will it disrupt or will it become disastrous?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When I heard you talking about that a little bit, one of the things that comes to my mind is that when you have families, oftentimes you do have the disruptors, mm-hmm. the ones who tear down. And I think what ends up happening, there are several dynamics, mm-hmm. but one of the dynamics that happens is that those who are felt, who feel that the most, I think sometimes they push away and like, you know, I don't like the way you make me feel when I'm with you.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's that dynamic in family where you have people that all of a sudden it's like, why doesn't, you know, and I'm just, please don't, you know, I'm not speaking specific to any families out there, but you know, why is it that John never comes to our meetings anymore? Why doesn't he come to family gatherings? And you know, why is Fred never, you know, never here, or, you know, Billy Bob or whoever they are.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times I feel like the dynamic is that because there's disruptors that they don't want to be around,
mm.
and they don't like the way they feel mm-hmm. when they're in that environment.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I think we can all relate because there's a dynamic. Now, we've talked about this before, I think. I don't know how much we talked about it, but you know, I think this isn't new ground. People understand that in families, there are family roles.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody gets a role. When you're born, depending on when you were born, whether your first birth order, you have birth order role. But then you have the dynamic of you know what the family likes to do and the role that everyone plays within that dynamic,
mm-hmm.
right? And so let me just give an illustration out there to help. If you're the baby in the family, you know, let's say you've got three siblings, you know, and you're the baby, right? And all of a sudden, you know, so you play a particular role. Oh, you're just the baby. You're the last one in. So typically, and I know this isn't every family, okay?
We're both babies.
We're both babies, but it's a little bit different. We only have one sibling.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little bit different. I mean, you only have one that lived with you at least.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a little bit different. And they were the opposite sex. So they also say that when that happens, that you still sometimes have, you know, more of a, you still being like a firstborn in that sense. And I mm-hmm. think both of us have that those traits. But when there's three or four of you, something like that going on, and you're the youngest, and sometimes it's tough to find your place because you're the youngest, and everybody kind of takes care of you while you were little. And it depends on, of course, how far you are apart. But so this happens, right? You come up, and you know you're kind of like taken for granted. You're just a baby. You don't know anything. Everybody's always they changed your diapers.
Talk for you, tell you what you think, exactly.
And then all of a sudden, you go off to college. You go off into life. You become very successful. You become a successful business person or whatever you might be,
mm-hmm.
multimillionaire. What, you know, you're making the money. You're doing great, right? And so you're respected in your field where you work. People look up to you. They respect you. But then you come back home and you're just a baby. Mm-hmm. You know, no one cares what you have to say. You're just little Billy. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't care that you have, you know, it's like, at what point do you become an adult like everybody else, mm-hmm. and we become peers, and it's not, you know, I'm the youngest in the family, or I'm the son to the parent. When do we make that transition? I think sometimes for people, it's, I don't like the way I'm made to be felt, to feel, mm-hmm. so I just don't want to go. Right. I mean, no one respects me, no one hears me. You know, am I? You know what I'm saying?
Right. You're the perception still is that you don't know much.
Right.
Or that you're the youngest.
Yes.
And so, therefore, if you do have something to say, they'll say, well, you're still wet around the ears. You don't still right. really know that much.
Right.
And therefore, and you don't realize that everybody has something to give at the table.
Yes.
But because of the fact of how we have seen this particular child, it's our perception. It's kind of like people will say, you're going to always be.
Mm-hmm.
And that always, sometimes even when we mean well, sometimes we don't mean well. We really are still saying you will always be.
Right.
You will, you know, so your voice, we do not hear. It reminds me of just listening to David.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we read about David.
Yes.
When we read about David, and I think his story pretty much plays out to where how he was perceived. He was one of the youngest.
Yeah, the youngest.
He was way out there, the shepherd, and his role was nothing compared to his brothers. So for him to even come to say, what's going on? What are you doing here?
Right.
You know, there still was that, you're this, and this is how we see you.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. I think for us in our culture, we don't quite grasp hold to David's position. David, the fact that he was the shepherd shows what they thought of him, because shepherds generally were hired shepherds had such a low position that they would never make their son a shepherd.
Mm.
So the fact that he was a shepherd with his sheep said they had absolutely zero respect for him.
Mm-hmm.
He was like not in the family.
Mm.
That is really, really bad on his. But so you're absolutely right. And so all of a sudden God wants to make him king. And you can imagine the offense. And that's why when he showed up at Goliath, I mean, there's so much family dynamic in that. It is a perfect illustration of what I think goes on in our families, right? Mm-hmm. He shows up, his dad sends him there. And again, he's running the errands for the dad. I mean, it's like, I don't think much of you, you know, you're out there with the sheep. I don't care. Just go, you know, go see what the real guys are doing. Go see what my real sons are doing. They're out there fighting the Goliath. They're out there battling for Israel. Go take him something to eat. And it was that kind of a thing. And David shows up, and of course, you know, he's getting into stuff, and they're all frustrated because here he comes again with that big mouth and that thing, and you're nothing but a shit. And they said that. I mean, so the dynamic, we see this in our families, right? Mm-hmm. We're treated certain ways, and we're just looking at it at one level. There are so many different levels. Mm-hmm. I mean, let me just expose my own. So, you know, in my family, you know, I was having this, we were having a conversation this last week because of some things that were said to me about my job. And there were some of the things that, you know, they were wanting me to be a little, in some assertive in some areas. And we were kind of talking through that. And it really sent me down a long path of thinking this through. And, you know, where is this rooted? And some of the things I was thinking about, you know, how I react and respond. And I came back to performance. You know, I think you know that about me. We've talked about that. I've had to work through this. You know, I came up in a very performance-oriented family. And so, in other words, performance was connected to love. And so you performed, you had to perform. You were always put in that position of needing to perform. And that's just the way our family dynamic was. And that's, you know, that's no blame on anyone. That's just what it was. Mm-hmm. But I got to a place where for those of you that can understand this, where it wore me out. And when we moved away, part of it was just wore out. It was like this weight that I got heavier and heavier and heavier the older I got, and I just needed to deal with it. And those 11 years that God put us in, was really part of that, was to help me to process all of that performance-oriented mindset. And even though I had broken free from a lot of it, the weight was still there, with just because of the family dynamic that was still there in that place.
Mm-hmm.
So thinking about that, I went back and start saying, okay, so there's some parts of my personality that I do. And those who know me, I mean, I say what I feel. I'm straight up, generally with people. But I can also be I'm very laid back. I mean, we're from California, Southern California, so that comes with our territory. But I'm very, very, can be like not wanting to be combative in some areas. I know that my kids would probably be like, you're always combative. What are you talking about? I have some areas, especially with colleagues and things like that, where I can go there, but I don't go there. I usually tend to try to just blend in and keep it cool and keep it quiet. And as I began to think through that in my own life, I started realizing that a lot of it is related to my performance mindset, that if I move into needing to be assertive, that I move back into performance in my mind. It's like I'm the weight of being, it's like now I'm competing and now I've got to be the best and I've got to step in. It's just a whole dynamic that I started, I had to sit through this and like, okay, what is it that I'm feeling? It's like, okay, performance. And so there's a dynamic with my family and some things that it's like, I'd rather not be there because I feel like I get pushed back into this role of performing and needing to perform and needing to be someone and needing to do certain things a certain way. And that just for me is weight. And I'm like, almost like, you know what? I don't want that. So it's easier to just like push back and push back and stay in my own little corner of the world here in Arkansas. And that's a nice, simple thing. Makes sense? I mean, is that?
Yes. Yes, it does. And so basically what you end up doing is you take that form of thinking into your workplace, to new relationships.
Yes.
And it's skewed.
It is skewed.
It's skewed in because what they're asking is not what basically you're thinking, but but what you're feeling is that's what you're asking.
It is. It is. I mean, it affected so much of my life. I mean, you know, I've gone back to get my bachelor's degree and master's degree, but I did all of that during those 11 down years in Charlotte. I walked away from, because school was pressure. It was performance for me. By the time I got through high school, I was so wore out. It's like, I cannot perform for another 4 years. I can't do it. And I just felt the weight of that and not wanting to. So it took me some years to get healed so that when I did go back and, you know, it was like, now I could do it to enjoy it. I didn't do it because I felt like I had to perform and achieve, even though I still graded, you know, with the 4.0 out of college. I still was like, I never felt like I was performing. I always felt like, man, this is fun. I'm enjoying. I just want to learn and have fun with this and to get past that. But I'm saying all this, not so we can, you know, pull me apart, because obviously, you know, I just want to be transparent with our listeners, but I want to also say, what are the dynamics going on in you, you know, and you listening out there? What are the issues? What are the challenges that you're finding in your family that is creating some of the conflict, creating some of the feelings, creating some of the challenges that are really there, that are like the elephant in the room that don't get discussed? That's really the issue. We're arguing about A, B, and C, but that's not really the issue. The issue is really how I feel. You know what I'm saying? Right. It's like, that really is the dynamic that we're not talking about. We're arguing about you know, I say, let's go to dinner and, you know, we're going to go here and you guys don't want to go there. And it's like, we're going to fight over what we're going to eat for dinner. That's not the topic. The issue isn't that you won't go to dinner where I'm going or where I want to go. The issue is that I feel like you're still treating me like I'm the youngest and you never want to hear what I have to say. And no matter what I offer, you always say no. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. I think I was experiencing that with someone that I work with, and they had went on a trip with their siblings. They're all adults now. And I think she's like the second to the last. And they spent a whole week together. So you figure this should be a great reunion. It's a great car ride with your siblings. And she was still treated. She's, how can we do this? No, we're going to do this. And the older two still made the decisions. And I remember her saying, they still were treating me like I was the youngest. And I'm now in my 30s. And I still cannot.
Right.
I cannot suggest. My suggestions are still no. You know, it's kind of like they just went right back. They left the comma and they just continued, even though it's been 10, 15 years that they just never missed a beat. And I think what happens is that, you know, I remember the joy that she had about being able to go. And then when I listened to her talk about, wow, you know, after all these years of us being together, you know, look at this, you know, the heart, the sad part was that they still cannot enjoy one another in that sense, to see that, you know, that's a good suggestion. Let's do what she would like to do over the next 7 days. You know, yeah. You don't even get a decision, not even one of the seven, you know? And so basically sometimes you'll find some that would begin to be the disruptor, because that disruptor to me in that sense is like, no, we're going here.
Right.
You know, she wasn't able. What the sad part was, she still wasn't able to tell them that this is not fair. You know, hey, you know, this, we haven't seen each other. I may be number four, you know, but we're all adults now, and I should be able to have a say. I have a family and I get to have a say with my family. And it was really sad that reunion was still ended the same way when they lived at home together.
Right. And you know what? Let me, you know, because I'm going to throw this at you. So here's another one, you know, and I know you can relate, because it's like, you're the youngest, you know, at least of the two of you that, you know, I know you have older, you know, but when your mom and dad both got sick, you're the one that cared for them.
Yes.
Completely. I'm talking about, you had absolutely no help at all. I mean, I'm not even talking about like they came to visit even. Mm-hmm. It was just you. And you know, I see that, we see that a lot in families. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, certain person gets relegated, I don't know what the, you know, that is going to be your role. You're the oldest, or you're the one that always takes care of people, and so therefore you're going to have to take care of mom. You take care. No one ever says it.
Right.
You just get stuck with it. Right. And I don't, and that's really maybe a bad way to say it, stuck, because you're not stuck with it. It was, you know, I know it was a privilege to do, but it wasn't easy to do.
Right.
And I know that you wanted some help, and you would have enjoyed having, you know, your brothers and others step in and help, especially, you know, it just is what it was.
And it is. It's, I think what it's a sad part is because you still have that in your heart. You know, I work with quite a few people at my job that have been there for years. And I've watched actually one journey that he was one out of the two siblings to care for his mom. And then when the sibling was out of state, would come, and the first thing she would say is, well, you need to do this, you need to do this. And I remember him saying, because he's in his 60s, and and he would say, you know, you're not even here.
Right.
And then you come and you still are trying to tell me what to do.
Right.
And I remember him saying, he said, for the first time, he said, I told her, do it yourself. And I remember saying, how did that feel? He said, it felt good. It felt good, because she was always the one that gave the orders. And the sad part about it is that, you know, it's something that he's harbored in his heart, because he loved his parent.
Right.
You know, and but you have that place of where the perception now is, this is your role. You know, and I get to do, and it's almost like, it's kind of like I get to do my life, but you're going to do yours. We've had different social workers with being foster parents, where you've had parents where they, you know, people that basically put aside their whole life and took care of their parents.
Yes.
To the point where they're now 60 and they don't, never did anything else with their life. And what I have found is that you can hear it in their, that it wasn't about that I didn't want to serve my parent. It was the part that in the siblings that it was never a balance.
Right.
And I think what happens is that we carry that into our relationships with other people. It affects our relationships at work, relationships with people at church. There's a lot of times we start sensing the expectation, like kind of like you said, and a lot of times it's not even that they're doing that, but because we've had that feelings or how we've had to see life through that lens, that we kind of, it feels like they're doing the same thing to me.
Yeah.
Kind of like when you said, when you went to, you know, when that experience at your job, and they're asking you about this, but pretty much what it took you back to, they're asking me to do the same thing that this person. And so how do you change that so that you're not, you don't become a disruptor? Because sometimes it's kind of like you can take on the form, I'm tired of this, and I'm not going to let anybody else do this to me again. So you just come in, yeah, and you kind of start bucking the system. And so how did you recover from that? Or what helped you see this scenario different?
I don't know if I do. I don't know if I did. I know, you know, I think when it comes to looking at this particular area, I think we know that we know that God wants to see families healed. Mm-hmm. And we know that we need to deal with and look at whether or not we are, you know, taking the time to really build our families and build each other, or whether we're allowing, or whether we're becoming, or allowing ourselves to be disruptors. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, the translation is that the way that we are in family is also how we are in the body of Christ.
Right.
And how that affects church life and how it affects our relationships with each other, mm-hmm, in the church. And so, and I know we're running out of time today. And so we wanted to kind of set the playing table today, mm-hmm, talk about the issue. It's going to take us another week or two to really dig into this. But, you know, I think let's leave it like this week, because, you know, and we'll come back next week and finish it, but, or take it on from there. But the idea here is where are you at? You know, as you're listening today, are you experiencing that? You know, sometimes families have no problems because everybody's in denial. You know, nobody, mm-hmm, wants to speak up. So we all, mm-hmm, just play the game.
Right.
And so the question is, where are you today? What are the things, you know, where do you fit in? Are you someone that is a builder? Or are you someone as a disruptor? And if you think you are one, would your siblings agree? You know, would your family agree? Or, or do you think, oh, I build people? And they're like, no, man, you do nothing but bring us down. You destroy us.
Brick by brick.
Yeah. You're a disruptor. You're always, you know, tearing things down. And you're the one that, you know, or is it, you know, that you are, you know? And I think those are things to think about as we, you know, take this week off. You have anything to finish with that?
I think I'm looking forward to next week, and I would just encourage people to read James when it talks about being slow to speak.
Mm-hmm.
I think it allows us to really look at the perspective and what we're saying.
Yeah.
And what we're feeling.
Mm. Good. Yes. So, amen. We'll pick this up back next week. Remember, we are talking about family, and we are talking about how we are relating to our families, and just seeing our role and seeing who we are in each family, and how we can really bring families healing, and how we can really step into seeing relationships built and some of those things broken down. So we'll pick this up next week. Have a great week.
G-Talk is a ministry of Hope For You International, a 501c3 nonprofit organization. You can find us on the web at thankfultoday.com and gtalk.info. You can also find us on Facebook at The Thankful Today.